Welcome back. Welcome to Module 14. You've made it a long way. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, your tour guide, as you learn ultimate conversational hypnosis. And now I think you're starting to see that it really comes from within. Everyone else may be learning technique after technique after technique, studying, learning how to deliver certain techniques, but are they coming from a place of genuine confidence? Are they coming from a place of feeling good about themselves in a holistic way? Do they have enough rest? Do they have a good sense of humor? Do they feel healthy and strong? Well, that's what's going to make the difference between you and everyone else out there. You have chosen a higher path. It's also a deeper path. It's a path that allows you from the ground up to be a powerful, amazing person. So when you're standing face to face with someone, before you even open your mouth, they know that you are a solid person, grounded in who you are. You are relaxed and comfortable because you have covered all of your bases. And in addition to that, you have some amazing, powerful techniques. You have some weapons at your disposal. In this module, I want us to take a good look at your spiritual health. Your spiritual health. You know, if we don't have spiritual health, then all of the techniques that we do might as well be done by a machine. You might as well be a computer just delivering techniques. And now I will do the anchoring technique. And now I will do the mirroring technique. And now I will use analog marking in a text message. And I will get the result. You see, a machine is cold, calculating, doesn't care, can't care. You're a human being. Before you even open your mouth, people are going to have a pretty good idea of who you are. Now, I don't want you to become one of those people who is shallow and just puts on the clothes, the costume of the successful person and has the quote-unquote right words to say, because what happens to those people is so predictable. Sure, they get themselves into a situation where they're talking with someone, but it's very easy for people to dig just a little below the surface and find out that this is a very shallow person. This is a person who lacks integrity, who lacks depth, and who doesn't really have an interesting personality. I want you to have an interesting personality. And that comes from being holistic in your approach to conversational hypnosis. Your conversation, meaning those things you say verbally and by text and by emails, but most importantly, your body language and how you feel about yourself, that's your conversation. All of that is your conversation. That comes from who you are. Who are you? Are you a rich person? I don't mean financially rich. I mean, are you enjoying the richness of life? Do you have any sort of connection with a higher being? I'm not promoting any one higher being in particular, but you have to ask yourself certain questions. Do you believe in God? Do you believe in a creator? Do you believe in a spiritual energy that rules the universe? What do you believe in? Are you a Christian? A Buddhist? Are you Jewish? Who are you? What do you believe in? If you have any of those faiths, are you practicing them? If not, why not? If you have a faith and you're not practicing it, do you really have a faith? Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. What I'm trying to do is to enlighten you about who you are. If there is a religion that you already have? And if you do believe in it, why aren't you practicing it more regularly? And I'll let you in on a little secret, which probably isn't a secret at all, but some information. If you go to church or a synagogue or a worship center or temple of any kind, there are going to be people there to interact with. Maybe they won't be the people that you want to have a relationship with or do business with. I don't know. But I know that those people know other people. You need to increase your social circle. This is going to help you tremendously in life. It's also going to give you more people to interact with. You have all these techniques, have all this good feeling about yourself, and you're just sitting in a room somewhere, it's not going to do you any good. So get out there. In this module, we're looking at spiritual health. Your spiritual health can be strongly affected, positively or negatively, by what you do, the company you keep, where you go. Do you take vacations? You know, so many people who have expressed an interest in this program just want to get it. Get those techniques. Give me those techniques. I'm going to use them. Well, if you have such a diehard attitude that you just want to get techniques and you want to use them, you're missing the greater part of yourself. You're not paying attention to the greater part of yourself. If you're a person who is acting as just a hollow person, delivering techniques, but not having any depth, not having anything that's really interesting and deep and grounded about you, you're going to have a little success, but you're not going to have ultimate success. I want you to have ultimate success. My concern is that you may be one of those people who is just so set on getting things done that you've overlooked the fact that things can get done in a much better way if you take time to pay attention to certain things in life. For example, you need to schedule vacations. If you don't have a vacation scheduled within the next 3 months, that's your homework. Schedule a vacation within the next 3 months. Vacations give us the possibility of meeting new people. When you're on a vacation, especially at a very nice place, you're going to meet other people who can afford to vacation at nice places. These are people with money. They have friends with money. If you're in business, these are great business contacts. Also, you tend to meet people who are able to slow down a little bit and really talk to you, really have a good communication with you. All right, let's take a look at spiritual health in the form of meditation. Now, I was formerly a preacher for the Church of Christ for 5 years, as I mentioned, from 1990 to 1995. And during that time, I still managed to find time to meditate. So whether you're a Christian, Muslim, Buddhist, if you're Jewish, it doesn't matter. You can still meditate. Meditation doesn't violate any religion at all, nor is it associated with any one religion. Meditation is just a way to clear your mind and get some focus. If you're standing in front of someone, communicating with them, and you've got all these worries going on, and you're not grounded in who you are, they're going to see that before you even open your mouth. It's like you've had the opportunity to have the black belt, and you chose something else. You chose to remain a white belt, the lowest level. Sure, white belts can kick and punch, and they've got a few techniques, but black belts have a thorough grounding in who they are. And it comes from a rich variety of experiences, from practicing for years, from doing prearranged exercises, yes, but also from sparring, freestyle sparring, just getting out there and having fun. In order to make a black belt, you need a lot of different ingredients. Meditation is one of those ingredients. All right, let's take a look. How do we meditate? Well, you might think, meditation? Isn't that what people in India do? You may or may not be from India. Doesn't matter. Meditation, isn't that what those hippies do? Meditation is good for anyone. If you have any preconceived prejudices against meditation, let them go right now. Whether you realize it or not, you meditate already. When you think about something, when you focus on it, when it goes over and over in your mind, when you ruminate on it, it becomes your meditation. What are you meditating on? You are meditating on something every day. What I want you to do is have a formal way of taking charge of your thoughts and deepening your character at the same time. Reasons to meditate are numerous. You become aware of the present. When I do seminars, I usually find a table that I can knock on, and I knock on it, and I say, this is real. This table is real. Here and now is real. Nothing else is real. Past doesn't exist. The future doesn't exist. What exists is right here and right now. Is that shocking to you? Is that surprising to you? All that ever exists is right here and right now, in this moment. Are you in this moment? Are you here? Are you present? You know what's going on right now? You're listening to my voice. That's what's going on. If you're driving, then driving is happening. If you're walking, then walking is happening. You know what's not happening? What's not happening is tomorrow. What's not happening is yesterday. Those things not only aren't happening, but they're not real. Those are concepts. You see, one of the challenges of being human is that we have all these ideas, all these concepts, past and future, and they don't even exist. They're not real. Sure, we have records of history, but do records make it real? No. It did happen, yes. I'm not arguing that, but it's over. That situation, those situations that we call history, they're gone. Most of those people are dead. If we go back far enough in the future, that hasn't happened yet. It's not guaranteed. The past is gone and the future is uncertain. Get used to it. That's reality. Reality also is right here and right now. So I want you to start living in the moment. When you're talking with someone, if you are in the moment, whether you're talking by text or cell phone or email, face to face, doesn't matter. They can tell if you are in the moment. Are you right here, right now? Are you with me? Or is your mind wandering? Our minds wander, and that's part of the beauty of meditation. But when you're supposed to be paying attention to someone, when you're supposed to be face-to-face with them or communicating in some way, they can tell when you're not present. Have you been accused of that? My guess is that you have. We all have. I have. Where are you? Where were you just then? Come back to us. Have you heard phrases like that? People notice when you're wandering. Sometimes wandering is fine when you're trying to get through a long, boring meeting and you don't want to be in it. But what if that meeting really matters and you're not giving it the attention it deserves? You're in the past or you're in the future. You're thinking about your lunch break. Or you're thinking about all the meetings you've had in the past. What about starting to pay attention to that meeting? How can you contribute to that meeting? How can you get the most out of it? How can you be present? Meditation gives you that skill allowing you to be in the present moment. It also allows you to connect with others on a deep level. Your interactions, if they're superficial, are going to be judged as superficial. How many real friends do you have? Friends who would drop anything for you, do anything for you? How many real friends do you have? My guess is that you have a few, a handful of people you can count on. Why not expand that? Why not have more real friends? Who are all these other people? These are acquaintances, people who wouldn't drop everything for you and come running. You need to become a person who has more real friends. Meditation gives you that connection, that ability to connect to yourself so that you can connect to others. Meditation allows you to relax your body and your mind. You need to be relaxed when you go into a situation. Conversation happens best when you come from a relaxed, calm, confident state of mind. Just as you learned through self-hypnosis, meditation is very similar and can give you that advantage. Meditation allows you to relax a little bit. For goodness sakes, why not lighten up a little bit? Why not chill out, as they say? If you go into a situation in which you're having a conversation with someone and trying to manipulate them, if you're so focused, so serious, because you've got to get that result, that can work against you. You need to chill out. You need to relax. You need to be in the moment. You need to let things flow. That's what meditation gives you. It also allows you to be grounded and balanced. I think you're going to find that your life steps up a few notches. Things become enhanced when you live in the moment. And you're also going to learn to appreciate things more. Appreciate what you have and each moment as it unfolds as a beautiful new experience. You need to slow down a little bit and pay attention to what is going on right now. Pay attention. And that's what meditation allows you to do. All right, let's take a look at how to meditate. People sometimes think that meditation is going to require them to spend years studying on a mountaintop or something like that, or it's going to take a couple hours a day. And I want to tell you that meditation can happen in 5 minutes or 2 minutes or 1 minute. If you think that you're too busy to meditate, well, let go of that excuse right now, because meditation can happen in just a minute, or you can spend longer if you want to. For me personally, I like to spend approximately 30 minutes meditating. But as you're going to see, meditation does not have to be a formal process. You don't have to walk into a part of your home, which is the meditation center, and sit with your legs crossed and your back upright and have everything perfectly quiet. Many people do meditate in that manner, but it's not necessary. So let go of your preconceived notions as we look into meditation and how to do it and how to make it work in your life. Well, let's start with formal meditation and go from there. If you want to do it the quote-unquote right way, or the way that you've probably always heard it's done, then go ahead and sit quietly with your eyes closed. Now, of course, don't do this while you're driving. So pause this now if you want to resume later and actually do it with me, or you can just listen now and do what I say later if you want to. But you would sit quietly with your eyes closed and take a few deep breaths in and out, relaxing a little bit more with each time you exhale. And just allow thoughts to come to you. All kinds of thoughts come to you. These are the thoughts that would form the chatter in your head all throughout the day. And maybe you have a little chatterbox going in your head all throughout your day, and you always think, go away, little chatterbox in my head. Well, now I want you to let that little chatterbox just chatter away. Get it all out. Now, at first, this can take a few minutes. This can take a while. Let it all come out. All that chitter-chatter. Oh, I should have done this. Oh, I need to do that. Oh, if he hadn't said that or if she hadn't done that. Oh, my goodness, my parents are right about this. Oh, they were wrong about that. Oh, the kids are doing this. Oh, I wish I knew how to do this. Let it all come out. Let all your insecurities come out. Let it all come out. Let all of those great things you love to say about yourself come out. Hopefully there are a lot of them. Let it all come out. Whatever's in your head, get it out. Listen to it. What you're going to find is that it slowly settles down. And I want you, over the next few weeks, if you're up for it, practice this, getting all that chatter out and then letting it settle down. What you're going to find is that it settles down to a calmness more quickly. Each time you meditate, you're able to get to that calm place more quickly. Because after all that chatter's out, you're going to find calmness. And imagine that calmness being like a lake that's perfectly still. Occasionally, there's a little ripple in the lake because some chitter-chatter comes up every now and then, even after you thought it was all out. And that's okay. And at that point, it's going to be different amounts of time for different people. Probably after a few minutes of enjoying the calm with occasional ripples, you can start to think about something you want to do. Something you want to do. Now, different meditation periods can be beneficial for different things. You don't have to meditate on the same thing every day. But I would like you to have that calmness every day. Let the chitter-chatter come out and get to the calmness. Then you can go any direction you want with this. Think about what you need to accomplish that day. What is it that I need to do? How am I prepared right now? Another great thing to meditate on is experiencing myself right here, right now. Who am I? I'm a person sitting. Just try to be in the moment. Be there. Move yourself beyond trying and just be in that moment. Let go of the past and future. Who am I? I'm a person sitting down because Steve told me to. I'm sitting in a room. My eyes are closed. That's what's going on. That's reality right now. If this exercise seems silly to you, I want you to think about the benefits. When you're able to be in the moment, in the here and now, with yourself, that's a very simple thing. But is it? Maybe it's the first time you've ever taken the time to be here and now, in this moment, with no expectations, no past, no future, just here and now, feeling your butt sitting on the floor, feeling your body, maybe you have a few aches and pains, who knows? But be with yourself right now. And you're going to be able to take that power and move it into your conversation. You're going to be able to be in the conversation. Remember what I told you. People can tell when you're in the conversation. Are you there? Are you present? You're going to become more and more present. People are going to be more drawn to you when you become more of an intimate conversationalist. If you can look them in the eye and talk to them right here, right now, without thinking of the past or the future, that level of intimacy is very appealing to people. It's seductive. You are mastering the art of seduction right now by learning about meditation. People want to know that you're connecting with them. They want you to give them that look. That intimate look. Have you ever had that with someone where you're looking in their eyes and they're looking in yours? How did that feel? Where did you go in that moment? Were you there? Were you with them? It's very seductive. It's very intimate. It almost feels like mind control. It almost feels like you're connecting to their mind because you are. And it doesn't come from looking at them and thinking about what you're going to make them do, or thinking about what you're going to have for dinner later on, it comes from just being present in the moment. How scary is that? Eye to eye in the moment. That power of seduction comes from your meditation practice. If you go deep within yourself and allow yourself to just be present, right here, right now, ground yourself in the moment, you're going to find that you have unstoppable power, power to connect with people. There are also other things that you can meditate on. Perhaps there's something you've been holding on to that you need to let go of. That would be a great meditation session. Practicing letting go. I want you to start living your life with an open hand. Look at your hand right now, palm up. Open your hand and look at it. I want you to take a good look at that. Get used to that, because that's how I want you to live. What does the open hand do? The open hand positions itself in such a way that it can give and receive and not cling. Now make a closed fist and look at that. Now try to put something in that closed fist. Anything at all. You can't put anything in a closed fist. You can try to shove it in from the side, but you're working against yourself. Now open it again and look at it. Look at that beautiful open hand with that surface area of your palm. It can hold something. It can accept an idea, a gift, a person, a new job, more money. It can accept the whole world. You literally can have the whole world in your hand if you will just open your hand. This is something you can meditate on. Living life with an open hand means you're not clinging to anything. You're not holding on too tightly to anything. You're letting life give you things, and you are giving life things. So the idea of non-attachment, it doesn't mean that you don't have anything. It doesn't mean that you're living like a monk without owning anything. No. It means you're not attached to anything. There's a great book that I want you to get your hands on. It's called Siddhartha. Siddhartha. It's about Buddha. Now, you don't have to be Buddhist to read this. You don't even have to believe in Buddhism. Siddhartha was a man who was very successful. He was successful in business and pretty much anything he did because he practiced non-attachment. When he was asked how he was so successful in business when he seemed not to really care, he basically said, "I am successful because I'm not attached." He wasn't attached to the results. If you go into a dating situation or a sales situation, or a job interview situation, and you're really attached to the results, people can see that. They can see that you're pushing, 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 punching, punching, trying to get a result. You need to make sure that when you use the techniques in this program, you're using them in a subtle way. And the way that happens is by letting go of an attachment to the results. It doesn't mean you're not goal-oriented. Of course you are. But you let go of your over-concern for getting the results. Because in the past, that has worked against you. That has made you nervous. Has made you anxious. And it showed. Believe me, it showed. I don't even know you. But I know that it showed. When you live your life with the open hand, you receive so easily, and you give so easily. People are attracted to people who are not attached. Let something go. Let it come back to you. It's that concept. Other things you can practice in meditation are developing patience and developing a desire to continue on. So many people give up. If you're this far in this course, you're not a quitter. You don't give up. You keep moving forward. Meditation can help you continue that perseverance. Meditation can help you keep things simple. You've heard the expression, keep it simple, sweetheart. Other people say it differently, but I like to say it that way. Keep it simple, sweetheart. You're the sweetheart. Remember, you love yourself. Keep it simple, sweetheart. Meditation will help you keep your life simple. Maybe you've cluttered it up with unnecessary people, unnecessary activities, and thoughts that slow you down. Meditation will give you that ability to see your life in a simple way, to see your life flowing in a very simple way, flowing smoothly. Meditation will also give you the ability to do what you have to do with courage, like a black belt, to do what you have to do with the courage that you need. Because when you center yourself, when you feel strong in yourself and rooted in yourself, you have the power to stand and deliver, to face anything that you have to face with courage, like a well-trained black belt. All right, now, let's take a look at changing your story. You know, we all have stories. We all have things we tell ourselves. We tell ourselves we're this way or that way. We're certain people. But you know what? You made all of that up. You made it up based on information or evidence, as you might think of it, information from your world. Your parents gave you certain information about who you are. Your educational experience gave you information about who you are. People out in public always give you information about who you are. But guess what? None of it's real. None of that is reality. You have taken all of those signals that you've gotten from the world, and you have synthesized them into who you are in your mind. That either you're shy or you're outgoing, you're happy, you're sad. There's so many stories we tell ourselves. We can paint the picture of our lives with meditation, and we can paint it any way we choose. You are the artist. You have the canvas. You have the paints. You have the paint brushes. You can take charge and change the story. If you feel that you've been a shy introvert and you don't want to be one anymore, I want to tell you that you can change that in an instant. Meditation can help. Meditation can allow you to just envision yourself in situations in which you are outgoing. Are you the type of person who's outgoing among some people, but among other people you're very shy? Why is that? That's because among the other people, you don't feel that would be accepted. You feel it would work against you. It's not as if you're actually lying and hiding yourself. You're just a person who's learned what works and when it works. But I want to tell you that learning is working against you. If you have a bubbly, outgoing personality and you're not sharing it in every situation, you're going to be perceived as being someone who's not exactly totally there, not exactly totally in charge, not exactly totally confident in every situation. Why not take that bubbly, fun self and apply it in more situations? Through meditation, you can imagine yourself changing your story, changing who you are. All right. Now, keep in mind that who you really are doesn't change. You are you. And that was true when you were born, and that will be true the rest of your life. You are you, a unique individual. But what you share of that with the world can change. And what you add to your core self can change also. You can become a new person, as they say, by exposing yourself to new experiences, some of which we'll talk about in a few moments. But I want you to realize that this you is who you are. And if you don't share it with the world, then you're really depriving yourself and the world. Have you ever noticed the salespeople who are very successful? They talk to everyone. They're very bubbly and outgoing, and they also seem unattached to the results. It seems like, when I've seen the really good ones, it seems like they just want to talk to people. I have a friend who's involved in international sales, and he flies around the world constantly. I think he spends more of his life up in the air in an airplane than down here with us. But when he goes and talks to owners of businesses to get them to go with his marketing company, he doesn't walk in and say, "Hey, would you like to buy 500 widgets with your company's name on them?" No. He schedules a lunch with the CEO of that company, who has become his friend because all of the CEOs of all of the companies he services are all his friends. And they don't talk about any business. They just get together and they talk. He is not attached to the results. He is living in the moment. He is enjoying what's going on. And he's also realizing the power of that. He's realizing the power of sharing himself, his authentic self, having a good time, and having this CEO think, "My goodness, this person likes me for me. Just wanted to have lunch with me and talk." Well, guess what happens next? A huge order, millions of dollars. He's made the sale, and he didn't say one thing about his product. Letting go of an attachment to results can benefit you greatly. Being in the moment with someone can benefit you greatly. Changing the story of how you see yourself can benefit you greatly. All of this is possible through meditation. So I encourage you, while you're meditating, to meditate on some of these things. Now, when you're done meditating, you're done meditating. You just bring yourself back to full awareness with your eyes open. I like to close my eyes when I meditate, but you don't have to. But if your eyes were closed, you open them and you slowly stretch a little bit, then you just go back to what you were doing. You don't need to do any formal process of ending the meditation session or beginning it. You just sit down, close your eyes, or leave them open, let all that chitter-chatter come, calm yourself, then focus on what you want to work on, and then you end it. That's it. Meditation can also happen while you're doing other things, while you're vacuuming dishes. Be careful of doing it while you're driving because you need to focus on what you're doing. It can happen while you're on a bike ride, while you're jogging, while you're walking. It can happen anywhere, anytime, while you're grocery shopping. So allow yourself to meditate sometimes. I prefer to do it every day, but you don't have to. Just be aware that your mind has a desire to meditate. It has a desire to let all this stuff out, all this stuff in your head, all this nonsense that people told you, all this chitter-chatter. It has a desire to get it all out. All right, let's look at one more thing that you can meditate on, and then we'll move into talking about taking vacations, honoring yourself. All right. Now, I want you to think of a negative pattern you have. We all have negative patterns, and I want you to pick it as a pattern in conversation. Maybe you start to make jokes which are inappropriate. Maybe you become shy. Maybe you end the conversation too soon. Maybe you talk too much and can never end the conversation. Whatever it is for you, just imagine a negative pattern that you have in conversation. And I want to give you a template that you can use for getting rid of this, a meditation template that you can use. So you would begin, as always, by sitting down or lying down. And by the way, I don't feel that you need to sit in the lotus position or any other position, you can lie down on your bed if you want. Psychologically, I can tell you what works best is having a certain time and a certain place to meditate, but it's not necessary. I want you to imagine seeing a white light above your head. And imagine this white light is very powerful white light. It's able to penetrate right through to the core of the earth. And I want you to imagine that this white light has nothing but good intentions for you. It has the ability to absorb from your body all the anxiety, all of the fear, all of the stress. It can just pull it right out of your body, right through the top of your head. And imagine that after it does that, it floods your body with power, fills your body like a bottle from the bottom to the top with some sort of liquid that is soothing. That's right, filling you up. That's right. Feel yourself glowing now. Glowing now. And I want you to imagine that thing that you do in conversation which hasn't been working for you. And imagine that that thing is part of your body. Somewhere it's located. Maybe it's in your throat. Maybe it's in your head. Maybe it's in your heart. Imagine it being somewhere and having a form. It can be a square, it can be like a rock, it can be like a brick, it can be like a ball. Imagine that that thing that you do in conversation that's worked against you has a physical form now. And imagine being pulled out of your body, right out through the top of your head. There it goes. Being absorbed by the white light, taken away forever. It's gone. This is a process that you can use to eliminate any negative patterns that you have, any negative habits, anything at all. And I want you now to imagine that liquid draining from your body, draining out from your feet. And that liquid has become a different color. It's a little dirtier now, because it absorbed even more negativity from your body and pulled it out. That's right. Now, when you actually meditate, you could do this process either more slowly or more quickly. But imagine that bright, powerful light and that liquid filling your body and giving a form and shape to that pattern that you want to get rid of. All of those tools can be very helpful. So I hope you decide to explore meditation more deeply and to use it to your advantage. What I want to talk about right now is another form of spiritual health. Spiritual health doesn't necessarily always come in the form of worshiping your God or going to church or a synagogue or a temple of any kind or meditating. Spiritual health can come from allowing yourself to take a vacation. That's right. Who would have thought that in a course on conversational hypnosis, I would be telling you to take a vacation? Well, I want to tell you, I've worked with some of the top CEOs on this planet. I don't say that to impress you, but to impress upon you the idea that I know what I'm talking about. I one time had a top CEO come to my office in Beverly Hills, and he wanted to learn to be more spontaneous. And I said that I can help you with that. We'll do a hypnosis session on that to begin with and program you to be more spontaneous. And then I'm going to show you specifically how you can do that in your life. I worked with him for a couple weeks. He came back the third week and he said, "Steve, you know what? I've become so spontaneous. In fact, you'll be happy to know that I've scheduled myself for 2 o'clock next Tuesday to stop everything I'm doing in my office and just walk out to the beach. Well, I said to him, that's not really what I had in mind. We continued working together and he finally got it. But some people are so caught up in their schedules, they don't know how to be spontaneous unless they schedule it. Scheduled spontaneity is not spontaneity. Spontaneity happens by being in the moment. What's going on right now? Am I stressed? Do I need a break? Do I feel happy? Do I want to sing? That's what spontaneity comes from. If you haven't had a vacation in a long time, you probably need one. And so I'm telling you, if you don't have a vacation scheduled within the next 3 months, schedule one. Now, I don't care what your budget is. You can take a vacation by just taking the weekend off and going to the next city over and staying in a motel. Or you can fly to Amsterdam or Paris or London if you want to make it more exotic. But it doesn't matter. Vacations really happen in the mind. You get yourself out of your situation. If you're in a situation, you really can't see it. I believe it was Van Gogh who said, take frequent vacations, because when you're far away, your troubles look small. Think about it. Have you ever seen the Earth from outer space? Whenever I see the Earth from outer space in a picture, I think to myself, wow, all of that happens on that little ball? All of that war, all of that progress, all of that technology, all of that love, all of that hate, all of everything happens on that little ball? Wow. It always seems so much bigger to me. But when you look at the world from far away, the Earth, the planet Earth, you realize it's pretty small. I can imagine astronauts being up there and looking at Earth and thinking, wow, that's nice. But look at all this other stuff. Look at this vast space with nothing in it except a few stars here and there. And here's the moon and there's Mars. But most of it's just empty space. We get so caught up in who we are and where we are and what we're doing and what we're all about. And, oh, we're so important. And, oh, got a plan for the kids' future. Got a plan for tomorrow. Got to pack some lunches. Got to plan this. Got to plan that. That we don't even plan a vacation so we can get away from all of that. That we can get ourselves out of that and take a fresh look at our lives. You know, scientific, psychological studies show that if you work at a problem, let's say a mathematical problem or any other kind of problem, where you're solving a problem on a written page in a test format, if you work on it for more than 15 minutes, you begin to work against yourself. Now, unless this is a problem that requires multiple parts, if you have pondered that problem for more than 15 minutes, you become counterproductive. But if you ponder it for 15 minutes or less and then take a little break and come back, your odds just went up tremendously of getting that answer right, of solving that problem. That's true of your life also. That's true of conversational hypnosis. If you are so caught up in doing this right and applying these techniques and so forth, you need to give yourself a break. Also, if you're meeting someone face-to-face or talking with them by email or texting, they can tell if you're a person who's a little too tightly wound, who hasn't had a break in quite some time, and that weakens your stance automatically. It weakens you. Remember, over 70% of our communication happens non-verbally. People can tell when you're tightly wound, when you're stressed, when you haven't had a vacation in a while. Maybe people are telling you, hey, you need a vacation. And you're thinking, no, must work, must make progress, must continue forward. If I do have a vacation, it's a working vacation where I'm at a conference and I'm learning more and I'm growing more. Guess what you become? You become a really boring person. You become a person who thinks he or she is achieving a lot, but actually you're missing everything. Most importantly, you're missing life. Life is passing you by because you're so busy building and being and doing and planning. Let go of that. How can we contribute to our spiritual health then through vacations? Well, vacations can happen in any number of ways. You can go online and you can buy airline tickets. You can go online and buy vacation packages. You can just get in your car and go. You can pack a bag and just go. Just go somewhere. Get a full tank of gas. Grab the credit card. Grab some cash. Grab some bottled water and just go. You don't need to tell anyone what's going on. You don't need to plan this. Just go. That's the simplest vacation. And then wherever you end up, you end up. And you get a room for the weekend and you stay there. And you just let go of all your stuff. And you leave your laptop behind. Hopefully you leave your cell phone behind. And you just go. Where were you? I tried to get a hold of you. We had the Johnson case going on. It was very important. So what? If the office burns down, I'll hear about it on Monday. But this weekend is mine. You know what I was doing? I was enjoying my life. That's what I was doing. Maybe you should try that too. That can be your answer. Do you have free time that you're not using? Do you have a weekend that you don't treat as a weekend? You need to learn to let go. You need to learn to loosen up. You need to learn to live life with that open hand. Open that hand. Let go of whatever it is you're holding on to. Your house will still be there. Your business will still be there. Your friends will still be there. Your friends will be there more than ever, especially if you're constantly in contact with them and you disappear for a couple days. They'll be closer than ever. Where did you go? We didn't know what to do without you. So allow yourself to have a vacation. If you have a little extra money, perhaps you can hire a travel agency to plan your vacation, to set out a nice vacation for yourself. So I want you, if you haven't had a vacation in a while, and if you don't have one planned for the next 3 months, to plan one. And I also want you to start being spontaneous. Just goof off every now and then. You're at work, excuse yourself, and then just go wander off in the woods. Free your mind. This is your life. You're going to be a lot better for it. If life is getting to you, it's going to show. Vacations are a normal part of existence. They allow you to be more powerful. When I think about the best vacationers in the world, I always think about Australians. People in Australia, for whatever reason, really know how to take a vacation, or holiday, as they call it. If you're Australian, then please forgive my bad Australian accent. Holiday. But Australians know how to do holiday. They know how to take a vacation. They close up their house for a month or 2 months or even more, and they just travel around the world. I've run into so many Australians while traveling. Everyone else is there for a week. The Australians are there, wherever there may be, wherever I may be on vacation. The Australians are there for a week. Next week, they're going somewhere else. The following week, they're going somewhere else, and it goes on and on. They're not rushing back to their jobs because Australians understand other Australians. The bosses understand the need to live life. I used to look at this and think, they're so unproductive doing that. How could they do that? And then I started to see the beauty. So many people put off vacations until they're retired. When's your real vacation coming? When you're 60 or 70? Maybe you are now. Maybe it's time for your real vacation. It's time for you to start having regular vacations. But if you're younger than that, what are you waiting for? Until you're 60, 70, 80, 90, 100? Until you've earned the right to take a vacation? Your life is happening right now. Plan your vacations and have some fun. and also take spontaneous breaks anytime you want to. All right, so let's take a look at your homework. Again, I'm not going to quiz you on this information because I think it speaks for itself. Two things I do want you to know are that you can schedule a vacation whenever you want to. It can be very basic. And you can meditate anytime and any place. You don't have to set up a formal meditation place or a formal meditation time or a formal meditation amount of time. All right, let's get on to homework or fun work. What I want you to do is meditate. Just do it once between now and the next module. If you want to just take a minute and do it, just to do it, then go ahead and just do it for a minute. Just stop what you're doing and space out and allow that chitter-chatter to come in and then calm your mind and focus on something and then come back out of it. But if you want to do it more elaborately, you can begin to set up a meditation center in your room. And this can be just the corner of your bedroom or the corner of your living room, or it can be an entire room if you want it to be, and you can have a time to go there and a set time to meditate, maybe a half an hour at 3 o'clock, and you can do it every day. So whether you do it just a little bit on the go or go the whole nine, it doesn't matter. But I want you, between now and the next time you listen to me in the next module, to meditate. Just give it a shot. Also, I want you to plan a vacation, as I've said. Plan a vacation. I don't care if you just got off vacation yesterday, in fact. I want you to plan a vacation within the next 3 months. Make it happen. Put it on the books. Put it in the schedule book or whatever electronic device you may carry around that you're so attached to that you schedule everything with. Put it in that. Make it happen. Your third homework assignment is be spontaneous. Check out spontaneously. If you are in a meeting, a staff meeting, maybe you can excuse yourself to the bathroom and just go wander the hallways a little bit and space out, then come back. And I also want you, as part of your homework, to practice being in the moment with someone and feel what that feels like. Look into their eyes. Do you have an employee or a boss or a spouse or a boyfriend or a girlfriend with whom you have conversations, but you're not really there? You're not really present? What would it be like to be present? I want you to do this face-to-face, but if time doesn't permit, then you can do it over the phone, or you can even do it by email. But I want you to practice being in tune with them. Be there in the moment. That means if it's an email, you're not just saying, oh, hey, good to hear from you. No, you're asking about them, and you're sharing what's going on with you right now. I feel tired. I feel happy. What's going on with you right now? If you're talking with them, you're looking at them eye to eye. You're face to face with them, and you're having communication with them, and you're really being involved in the moment. You're present to who they are and to what's going on with them, and you're sharing what's going on with you. And remember, if you want to develop the art of seduction in your own life, there's no better way to do it than to get used to looking at people in the eyes. Looking at them is going to convey that you have power. It's going to convey that you have the ability to be intimate with them. And it's going to convey that you are here. You're paying attention. You're listening to them. And you're responding. Then you're saying something, and they're responding. It's not just your agenda in your head that you're trying to get out through your mouth as quickly as possible. That's not a conversation. That's you bulldozing the conversation. That's you taking charge and becoming a person who's delivering a monologue. It's just you talking. That's not a conversation of the type that I'd like you to have. There should be give and take. So all of those things are your homework. Hope you're up for it. Make it happen. I'm Steve G. Jones, clinical hypnotherapist, hoping you have an outstanding day.